If you've got your handouts with you this morning, go ahead and retrieve the one that says encouragement for all. Encouragement for all as we've been making our way through the book of 1 John. We've been looking at 1 John and just week by week taking our time to go through that Bible book. You know, John wrote to the church at large. He didn't write to a specific church like Ephesians written to Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, or Philippians, or he wrote to the church at large. And so this book just really speaks to us. And what I want to dig out today, it really has to do with the spiritual growth arenas, how we are designed by God to grow. And mothers understand the sequence of growth better than most. They intuitively get the idea that when a baby is born, they're designed by God to grow, not to stay a baby, but to expand, to extend themselves, to grow physically. And what we're talking about today, at least in part, are stages that might be there for us spiritually and how we might be encouraged to take the next step and to grow. You know, the church is designed by God to be intergenerational. It's designed by, it's one of the few places, especially in our culture and our society, family and the church are designed by God to be intergenerational. It's not just one set or one age. It's designed to be intergenerational. And God wants us spiritually to progress like we progress in our age, in our chronological age. And so the Apostle John is going to read into that through this passage. Let's read it together. You can follow along if you wish. This is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I am writing to you, dear children, notice the youngest among us, children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, oh, there's the mature, because you know him from the beginning, who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. He cycles back around. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. A little repetition there. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's just pause for a minute and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this song, this poem, this passage of scripture that would encourage everyone at every age to take the next step, to grow, to expand our hearts and our minds in love with you. We ask for your leadership over us as we explore this even more today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, this fact that God made the church intergenerational and as a family, he wants the young to be helped by the older. He wants the middle to be powerful and strong. And he points that out in this passage. I was thinking about my kids and my grandkids. And I think that's an Easter. I don't know what happened, but they just decided to attack me. They were trying to kill me or something, you know? But it was a total blast. And family is that place so often where you see intergenerational. And the church is designed. This is what he says. Children, fathers, we would say mothers, daughters, we would say young people all across the way. And, you know, just to say, this doesn't say mothers, but you can put in their mothers. You put in their parents, because he's not dealing so much with the gender as he is the arena of growth and the place. Don't you love holidays, whether it's Easter or Christmas, when families get together and the grandpas tell the old jokes they've told 100 times, You know? No, no, not Terry. No. And moms kind of get things organized and kiddos play. And I don't know about you, but holidays are so much fun. I think for me, they've always been that because they are intergenerational. You see all aspects of life, and you get to sense the progression of life, because every grandpa was once a kid, and their stories reflect that. You know, and here we are talking about the age ranges, the chronology, the growth. Now, one thing that's interesting with our physical growth, it patterns right after the ages. You can tell by aging where someone is almost always at. Now, it varies a lot. You get an 8-year-old that's still really, really small, and you'll get one that's taller than his parents. You know, it varies a lot in terms of physical growth, and it varies a lot in terms of spiritual growth. And as we dig into this a little bit today, let's talk about forgiveness being the starting point. Forgiveness is the starting point. That's where he says, dear children. Now, you might not be a physical, chronological child, but everybody starts at the same place spiritually. Jesus said it to Nicodemus. He said, you, an adult leader of Israel, you must be, we know it, born again. Guess what happens when you're born again? Spiritually, you start over. You start at the bottom. You start at the base, and you say there's growth to happen. Well, what happens when you're born again? According to this verse, your sins are forgiven. You see, everybody starts at the same place. When you're baptized into Christ, when you commit your life to Christ, when you accept his forgiveness and leadership, your sins are forgiven, and we all start there. You've heard this before? The cross, the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We all start at the same place before Jesus. He says, your sins have been forgiven. Notice it says, on account of his name. Because of him. Because of his leadership, because of what Mark was talking about in our communion time, because we have forgiveness of sins. Let's go through a couple of verses here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption. Through what? His blood. You see, that's where we all start. We understand the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross wasn't just for the sins of the whole world. No, we apply it specifically and say, no, it was for this person. It was for me. And when you accept his sacrifice for you, then it becomes personal and you have the forgiveness of your sins. Isn't that the most beautiful thing that God has ever provided for any of us? No longer do we have to live under guilt. No longer do we have to live under the cloud of shame. No longer do we have to live under the cloud of fear. I wonder what God's going to do because I am such a sinner. Just the opposite. He says he forgives our sins. Here's the terminologies he uses. He says, though your sins be like scarlet red, I make them whiter than snow. He cleanses, he forgives, he pardons, and he gives us what it says, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. None of us deserve it. None of us can earn it. None of us have qualified for it, but he gives it freely. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift from God, not because of works, so no man can boast. In 1 John 1:9, we've already studied this in depth, but here it is a review. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. And what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some, not just a little, but from all unrighteousness. That's the clean slate. That's the start over. That's the second chance. That's the do-over that none of us deserve, but all of us have the opportunity when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And we all start out at the same point. Now, the neat thing about that is we can all understand one another because we all start at the same point. And we can all lead someone else to the Savior because it's so simple. It's not complicated or challenging to understand. It's so simple, a child can grasp it. In fact, here he says, "Dear children." This is for the entire body. Because you know what? We all are dear children. Several times the Apostle John is going to use that terminology, dear children, to refer to the whole church. You always start out at the same point as children with forgiveness of sins. Now, while forgiveness is a great place to start, it's not a great place to stop. Now, there's a lot of people who accept Jesus Christ, who receive his forgiveness, and then they, in essence, stay as babies. They don't have an opportunity or take an opportunity to grow, to expand. And that's what we want to mention. Because we all start at forgiveness of sins, we get rid of our guilt, our shame, and our fear. Many get stuck at this point, and we want to encourage all that forgiveness is the starting point, but not the stopping point. Let me put out a couple of verses for you, just to challenge you. Remember, today is all about encouragement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth, "I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit." I mean, they accepted Jesus, they became Christians, but they weren't living by the Spirit. But he says, "I have to address you as people who are still worldly." In essence, he's saying, you've not grown yet. You've not expanded beyond the forgiveness of your sins. You're still captured and captivated by the world. He says, you are mere, get the word, infants. You're mere infants in Christ. Now listen to the food analogy. I gave you milk, not solid food. You couldn't handle steak, so I gave you milk. Now, every person probably has enjoyed a good glass of milk. You know, adults, not everybody, but most adults even, you know, milk and cookies, what goes better, right? Milk is not something you only drink when you're young, because forgiveness of sins is something that follows us. We're all forgiven and we're always forgiven, and we can enjoy milk. But he's saying there's a point in your life when you start to digest bigger, deeper, more mighty concepts than just the forgiveness of your sins. Don't start there and stop there. Instead, move forward. Here he says, I couldn't give you solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Now, that's something that we can all control to some degree. We can all control our readiness to grow, our willingness to grow. He says, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. I think our readiness to grow is there because if it wasn't, Paul wouldn't be saying this to them. Paul wouldn't be challenging them with grow up if it wasn't possible for them to control the growing. But in fact, the term grow in Christ is repeated through almost every one of Paul's letters. Let us grow in grace, he says. Let us grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Let's grow in our Christ-likeness. It's something that we can be encouraged to and accomplish in him. Now, it says you are still worldly. You're still worldly. We talked about that last week. Do not love the world or the things in the world, for everything that's in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, he says, isn't from the Father, it's from the world. So he says, when you are worldly, you're focusing on those things that are negative toward God, those things that aren't helpful in your growth. So he's saying, you're still caught up in loving the world. Love God the most. Love the Heavenly Father the most. Set aside the love for the world and put your focus on loving God. And guess what? You are going to start growing. You're going to take on maturing aspects in your life. Let's take one more. This is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. And I've got a few kind of ellipses in here to kind of help make it clear. For though by this time you brothers and sisters in the Hebrew nation, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. You know, think about it. You've been Christians long enough, you should be helping others. But he says, you need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God, the basic elementary principles. I got to come back and teach you the basics when you should be teaching others. You have come to need milk, not solid food, for you have not matured spiritually. For everyone who partakes only of milk, lacking spiritual maturity, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, not maturing spiritually. God's encouraging us, to challenging us to let God grow us, to take the next step. If you're here today and you've received the blood of Jesus over your sins, you are forgiven. You are in Christ. Now, let God grow you to the next stages. Let you be maturing in Christ. Isn't it interesting that God has encouraged us even by calling himself a mother? In the Old Testament, there's several passages, including Hosea chapter 11, where it says, God is like a mother. He's like a mother. He wants to grow us, just like parents want to help their kids grow by nurture and nutrition. He wants to help them physically grow. God says he is a nurturer and he is a grower. In fact, two other passages in Isaiah says that he's a comforting parent, just like a mother comforts her baby. God says he comforts us like a mother. Just like a mother nurses her baby. You know, the Bible says God nurtures us like a mother. Isn't that beautiful? And so here when it says, my little children, Paul says the same thing. He calls people children because we all start off and we get that tender idea. Jesus said it this way. Matthew 23, he said, God's like a mother hen whose chicks would come around and the mother hen would put the chicks under their wings to protect them. Jesus says, God's like that. God's like a mother hen. He wants you to be protected. And why does a mother hen protect her chicks? So they can do what they're naturally made to do, grow, expand and reproduce eventually. In fact, Jesus even told the parable of the mother, the woman who had lost one of 10 coins and cleaned out the whole house until she found it and then called everyone and rejoiced. You go, oh, God's comparing himself to finding us, like this woman who finds the coin and celebrates the victory that comes from that. So forgiveness is our starting point. And we all kind of know that kids act like kids act. You don't expect a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old to be acting like a 12, 15, 18, 19-year-old or a 31-year-old. They all are different. And we forgive them for acting like children, don't we? I read this week about a 4-year-old little boy, maybe you heard of this. His name was Noah Ruiz. He was an autistic young man, and his mom had given him her computer to do his schoolwork, kind of the Zoom idea. And while he was doing his schoolwork, it was a break or something, and his mom was in the other room. So he looked up on Amazon how to buy SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles. He didn't just buy one. He didn't just buy two. He bought 51 cases of SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles. Thousands. It was a joint account, a joint Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime, you know, pretty rapid. It was a joint account with this gal's sister, the boy's aunt, and she got the notice that this thing had been charged $2,600 on her credit card, you know. And so this gal was going out, that's my tuition money. She's a college student. That's my tuition money. What are we going to do? So her sister set up for her one of those accounts where you GoFundMe kind of accounts. And she got $6,000 in donations to help her pay for the $2,600 and then some. And I think most of it went to waste because they didn't have enough freezer space. Well, they were giving it away to the neighbors and everything. So many times we do dumb stuff. I mean, this little kid, why did he do that? Because he was a kid. You go 4 years old, some extra challenges there. You know, what are you going to do, get really mad at him? You know, and I think God looks at some of our young people, our young in Christ folks, and says, of course you're going to make mistakes. That's why you want to grow. That's when you want to get out of that. So you don't want a four-year-old to be acting this way when they're 14 or 18 or 24. Okay? And the same is true for us as believers. But spiritually, it has nothing to do with the chronology. Some people can grow rapidly and extend their spiritual life magnificently. And others, it takes a long time. And part of it is your readiness, your willingness to do just what the Apostle Paul said, to call on believers who are little children to be dear children, to be born again, to start over, and to have that cleansing, and then to grow. Well, let's take the next one. Can we do that? The next stage that he mentions here is young men, young people, youth. I call it vigorous growth, because he's talking about some pretty powerful growth aspects when he's talking about the young people. Now, some of us may think of this as young people physically, but it's not just that. It's like those kids tackling me in my chair, you know, that I was showing you the picture of. It's this life stage where there is vigorous growth, and I say it's expected. He's saying young men, young women, young people. And look what he says, I am writing to you because you overcome the evil one. We're talking about victory over sin in life. That's a maturing aspect of our life when you have overcome the evil one. And he says, because you are strong, because the word of God lives in you. And he repeats the same phrase twice. And you have overcome the evil one. Let's tear that apart a little bit and talk about it in depth. The first one I want you to think about is that the word of God abides in us, in you. If you want to grow, if you want to go to the next step, the word of God has to be abiding in you. The word of God lives inside of you. Never say that he never says they became perfect, but they were growing because the word of God was abiding in them. How many of you know that the scripture says, hide God's word in your heart? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Our ability to be victorious is directly related to God's word being in and active in our lives. Notice the word abide. You know, it's not just something, well, yeah, I've heard that before. No, it's something that you meditate on, you think about, you put in your heart and let it resonate from you. God's word, he says, lives in you. God's word abides in us. Let me have two aspects to this. The first one is you will overcome by the word of God Satan's accusations. Satan's accusations. This is a key one because the Bible says that Satan, the accuser of the brothers, accuses the brothers day and night before the throne of our God. I mean, Satan's chief job is to accuse us. You know what I was talking about earlier? Being free from guilt, being free from shame, being free from fear. Satan wants to reverse the option that you gained in salvation. He wants to reverse the benefit that you gained in salvation. And so he is the accuser of the brethren. What are some things he accuses? That's his main job. He wants to accuse you because you're not perfect. He wants to say you're not worthy. And it's true. What Satan uses to accuse us is true, but we're not experiencing the forgiveness that we talked about earlier. He says, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He has been cast out, who accuses them day and night before the throne. That's Satan's main job, is his accusation. Second one, the word of God gives us victory over, is Satan's temptation. Satan's temptation. The victory of God's word will give us, God's word will give us victory over temptation. Colossians 3:16, if you don't know this one, hide this one in your heart. For it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly on account of him, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. This is one of the verses that the elders prayed over as we thought about mandates that would say no singing in church. And we said, wait a minute, this says singing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's something biblically commanded there. And how do you do that? And why do you do that? Because the word of God is dwelling in you richly. In a way, you can't help it. It springs forth from you and comes out of you. And that's going to deal with temptation in your life. That's going to overcome temptation. When you hide God's word in your heart, when you let God's word be dwelling in you, it'll accomplish what it and only it can handle and accomplish. Here's what it says. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. What did Jesus do in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4? Remember, boom, 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 he got these rapid fire temptations. And every one of them he dealt with the same way. How did he deal with it? It is written. It is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone. I'm not going to turn those stones into bread because here's what God's word says. Are you going to bow down to me and all these kingdoms will be yours? No, he said, it is written. You shall worship and serve the Lord your God only. I'm not going to bow down. We cast your foot down and cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. No, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Every time he did it by the word of God that was living inside of him. And every indication we have is that as a young man, as a young person, he hid God's word in his heart, just like you and I would hide God's word in our heart. Even though he was there when it was written, he was part of its creation, he learned it like we learn it. And the Bible says, in every way he was tempted like we are tempted, yet without sin. The reason he was tempted and yet never yielded was God's word was abiding in him. And because of that, he had victory. There was vigorous growth. Let's take another part of that. Not only should we have God's word abiding in us, he says, young people, young men, you're strong. Be strong. Because you are strong, you have victory. Because you are strong, it shows your strength and your growth. Ephesians 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and be strong in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Reminder in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. You know, sometimes young people in that growth stage think of the church, think of their Christian life as boring. You see the power involved here? It's anything but boring. You get a chance to be a spiritual superhero. You get a chance to be spiritually victorious over the evil one. Not because of you, but because you're armored up with God's word, God's sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You become an amazing, armored up, strong believer. If you don't feel strong, God's word will make you strong. Let's take one more. He says this twice. He repeats this in 13 and he repeats it in 14. For you have overcome the evil one. Overcoming the evil one. What did Jesus say? In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. When you are in Christ, when you are in Jesus, you will be an overcomer. And he's saying that to young believers, saying, take the next step. Don't just be satisfied with your salvation. Take a step that says, hide God's word in your heart. Be strong in the Lord and armor up, and let God be an overcomer through you. He will be greater than he that is in the world. Here's what it says in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. John says that over and over again. 1 John 5:5. So you got 4:4 and 5:5. He who overcomes the world, the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we are putting God's word in our heart. We are being strong in him, and we're overcoming. That's what growth is about. Measure your growth, measure your success with those matrix, with that matrix. Let's talk about the last one. This is where he says, you fathers, you parents, I would say you fathers and mothers, since today is Mother's Day and we're focusing on mothers. You parents, you know, and he says the same thing both times to the parents. What's he say? Because you know him. Because you know him. Because you know him who was from the beginning. What's he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus, the one who he's talked earlier about being from the beginning. You know him. So here's the deal. You start off with your forgiveness of sins. You grow in him and be overcoming of sin and the word being planted in your life. And then you end up where we all can be knowing him and his power and his leadership over us. Are you a father? Are you a mother? Are you spiritually parenting anyone? The question would be, have you moved through these stages of growth? And is there anyone in your life that you see yourself responsible for spiritually? The Apostle Paul says, you have 10,000 instructors, but you only have one father. I got to lead you to a relationship with God. He wants to produce and reproduce through us. How can you tell someone's a father or a mother when they reproduce? Now, how can you tell you're mature when you reproduce? That's the way it is spiritually. It's not just about you becoming strong individually. It's about you reproducing the love of God in and with and through others. Let me use an illustration. My wife's namesake, Lydia, in the Bible. Lydia, here's this woman of faith, this seller of purple, this seller of purple from Thyatira. She was a businesswoman. And that's your favorite color, isn't it? Yeah, mine too. The seller of purple from Thyatira, okay? Here's this woman, and she's down at the river praying. She doesn't know Jesus yet. She's yet to become a babe, okay? But she's praying. She and her Jewish friends are going down to the river every day at prayer time to bathe in prayer. Not in the river, but in prayer. Paul the apostle comes along, and he leads her to become a babe, to become a babe in Christ. He brings her to Jesus, and he takes her into the river, and he baptizes her into Christ. She starts off with the very thing we talked about, the assurance of her forgiveness, the blessing of forgiveness of sins. She starts off as a babe in Christ. And then before even the day or two is over, she starts serving. She says, hey, Paul, hey, you church leaders, you missionaries, would you consider me worthy of making dinner for you? Would you consider me worthy of showing you hospitality? Would you come over and spend time at our house and help us, I think she said, grow? Help us grow. Help us take steps in extending the word of God in our lives. So what did Paul do? He began to teach. He began to share the word of God so that the word of God was abiding in her. And before you know it, she ends up planting a church in her home, becoming a church planter and leading others. Like the Philippian jailer whose whole family got baptized. She takes them in and begins to sense God's growth. She turns into a reproductive element. She turns into a reproducer of her life in Christ. So you go from not knowing Jesus at all to being reproducing in her life. And what a good challenge for us. Here's a woman who takes on the baby steps of faith, who grows through the young phases of growth and becomes mature as a reproducer in her life. And that's God's challenge for every one of us. Your name may be different, but the process is the same. God's calling on us. I could go through other examples. A maturing relationship awaits every one of us. Are you willing to be a parent? Are you willing to be a spiritual mom? Maybe you're here today and you've done your job parenting your kids. Maybe God's got something right now in front of you to say, maybe one of these people, we've just had 5 or 6 baptisms here the last couple of weeks. Maybe God's saying, would you take one of those believers on and help them grow? I know looking around, there's a lot of people in every one of those stages. Baby believers, young people believers, and maturing believers. And God's got the plan for us to help one another to grow. That's why he says there's encouragement for all. Let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for those who are just coming to Christ right now, for the forgiveness of sins that you've promised us, for the cleansing that you show us. We are so grateful, Lord. We never want to lose sight of the blessing that you are in that forgiveness. Lord, for those who are young in their faith, who are babes and yet growing right now, that are vigorously growing, we want to pray for that growth. We want to pray that you would help them to hide God's word in their heart, that you would help them to be strong, and that you would help them to overcome the evil one. And Lord, I'm praying for those who already are in that victorious Christian category, but that have never reproduced their love for you in anyone else's life. Lord, I pray that today, Mother's Day 2021, would be a time of commitment to you to become parents. Would you help us to turn turn around, to look around, and to help others in their faith, in their walk, in their desire to be like Jesus. We pray, Lord, for this day. We thank you again for the gift that you've given to us and the illustration you've given to us of mothers in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.